Americans most afraid of? Today on Older and Wiser, we'll look at a recent survey that may surprise you.
Whatever happened to those old-fashioned names like Charlie and Clara? Guess what? They're coming back. Plus, we'll reveal the names most likely to get you a date.
Also, where can you find a good bathroom when you're out in public? We've got some surprising information about what people really do in public bathrooms.
I'm Bob Bates, along with Susan Sikora, and this is Older and Wiser. Regardless of your age, finding a nice clean bathroom when you're out in public is no easy task. You know that. We've got an interesting survey to tell you about in a few minutes, revealing what people really do in public bathrooms. First, Susan, I got to ask you, what do you look for in a good public bathroom?
Well, let's see. First of all, cleanliness is supreme.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's got to be something that is really clean.
Right.
I find in most cases, if I go to a local Target, those are pretty
Target
clean.
Target has some of the best bathrooms I've seen anywhere. And the great thing is you can go to a Target bathroom without buying something at Target.
Yes,
you can go right in, and they're always right up in the front of the store.
Right in the front. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. You don't. That's the other thing. Some of these people, they put these bathrooms way in the back. Well, honey, if you're in a hurry, nature won't wait.
And don't make me ask for a key.
It may be a deal breaker. Yeah, a key.
Another place that has really good bathrooms, I think, is Starbucks. And since there seems like there's a Starbucks on every corner these days, I always kind of shoot for a Starbucks if
now,
I'm walking around.
Now, why do you like Starbucks? I haven't been to Starbucks. Why do you like Starbucks?
They're everywhere.
Yes,
you know,
okay.
You can, if you're shopping someplace, have you been to downtown San Francisco's Union Square? You know how hard it is to find a bathroom down there? It's really hard.
I think it was Joseph Magnin that closed. It was on the corner, right there, right across there.
They had nice bathrooms there?
Yeah, they had it's almost, you could move in and sublet it. I mean, seriously, you could put a cot in there because it closed. The door went all the way, I think, from the top to the bottom.
That's
you had plenty
privacy.
Of room. It was great. Now, I'll tell you what really gets me crazy is some of these stalls that are tiny because they say, well, let's put one more stall in because we need, we don't need the space, we need the stall. And particularly in a movie theater, usually the stalls are clean, but
very small.
Yeah, you can barely turn around and then you got to close the door. And then, I can't imagine this in a place where the weather is cold and you've got to now.
A big coat and bags and all
exactly.
That sort of thing. How long has it been since you've been to a bathroom with a washroom attendant?
Oh, my gosh. I can't even remember.
No, I can't either.
It's been a long time.
I've always sort of hated
And they depend on you tipping them. And at that point, people are thinking, I could just pick up the towel myself. What
Absolutely.
Are you doing here?
Let's say you're out on the freeway and you've got to go. What do you look for? What kind of a place would you try to stop into?
I'd probably go to some place that had a recognizable name because they have a reputation to uphold. And some place like a McDonald's or a Howard Johnson's, if they're even still open, I don't know. Or a Stuckey's maybe. Probably can't afford.
Stuckey's. Are Stuckey's still around?
Well, if you're driving in the South,
oh,
I think.
Oh, my God.
I find that
food places are better than gas stations. Restaurants. McDonald's. Taco Bell, you can go to one of those.
I have two words for gas station bathrooms.
Yeah.
Hold it.
There was a survey recently to determine what some of the behaviors are inside bathrooms. And one of the things, I couldn't believe this, I asked my wife and daughters about this today. They said in women's bathrooms, only 5% of women actually sit down on the toilet seat. I'm not going to ask you personally if you do it, but my kid said no. I one of them said I do sit down. The other said I hover or crouch.
Well, it's nice if your muscles are working and you're
yeah, it would be very hard to crouch.
Let me say this. I kind of mix it up without getting too graphic, and let me tell you why. I was always a paper the seat girl.
Paper the seat, absolutely.
And then, no less than, and I'm going to quote the man because, remember Dr. Dean Adel?
Yes.
Okay. He said most people will flush the toilet with their foot because they think there's germs on the flusher.
Yes.
And they will paper the seat.
Absolutely. Said, is that not
papering
good?
Papering the seat, don't worry about it. Flushing with your foot, you can flush with your hand. He said there were not. It was something that was
they
not
tested that.
So much.
Actually, that's one of the things. One of my daughters said was that they've done research on this, and one of the cleanest places is actually on the actual seat itself
that's
because
right.
people's people's actual butts aren't dirty.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here's a personal question for you. Have you ever made a phone call or communicated with anyone on your cell phone while you were sitting on the toilet in a public bathroom?
If people think that when they're in the bathroom, whether it's public or private, that people don't know you're in the bathroom, you're wrong.
Listen,
we can hear the
hear the echo and the splashing.
Absolutely.
The survey here says 63% of people have answered a call. 41% of people have initiated a call.
No.
Imagine that, dialing out while you're sitting on the toilet.
I don't understand what bravado it is, or I guess is it self-confidence, or is it that
people
are so interested in me, they don't care that I might be sitting here doing what have you, and they want to talk to me anyway. Number one, it can wait.
It can wait.
Number two, if you're calling somebody from the toilet,
you've got too much,
way too busy.
You're spending too much time in the bathroom.
Too much time on the phone.
The result here, that this one takes the cake for me, and that is 10% of the people surveyed admit to having made an online purchase on their cell phone while they were sitting in the bathroom. I'm telling you, come on.
Is it you have to buy?
You
got to
go on
important.
eBay while you're going to the bathroom.
Oh, no.
8% of the people surveyed said they had eaten in the bathroom.
No. Listen, I don't I do not eat in the bathroom.
Now, there's also an interesting catch-22 to those soap dispensers in bathrooms. It turns out that a quarter of them are so laden with fecal and coliform bacteria that your hands could end up filthier than before you washed them.
Okay, now wait, were they talking about, in other words, if you have a dispenser,
you probably have to push
have
the
to
button.
The dispenser,
yeah,
right?
Nowadays there are some, many of them are motion sensors. Yeah, so you don't have
so
to
motion
touch anything.
I would think that does away with that problem.
If you're hitting
something, sometimes I'll hit it with an elbow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. People do that.
Or an elbow that has a sleeve.
I do not touch a door handle in a bathroom. I pull my sleeve down and open with the sleeve.
I do that too.
Yeah. And many people use toilet paper to open the bathroom door or the stall door, for sure.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Because if you once you touch something that's public, like a doorknob, which is where you end up getting a lot of germs, or colds even in flu season, my gosh, people tell you, if you go use a doorknob, put some of that stuff on your hands if you can, or wash your hands. Washing the hands is the big thing.
That's
but
true.
But after you wash your hands, don't touch the
doorknob.
Don't
touch anything. No. It's absolutely
you have no
true.
Idea what moron went out of there before you and didn't wash.
In fact, 64% of Americans flush their public toilets with their feet. 60% open the door handle with toilet paper, 48% shut the door with their butts.
And this is why, at least in the ladies' room, I can only speak to that because that's only where I've been, is that they should put the trash bin where you're going to throw your paper if you've dried your hands with paper, right. The smart people have figured out to put the receptacle by the door so that you can pick up the door, hold the handle with the paper, and then
throw the paper
in there, and then keep it open with your elbow and then get out.
As the door is swinging closed, throw it in the trash right before
that's
you go.
Right.
I love that arrangement. I love that arrangement.
That just makes sense.
One last interesting note from this article before we move on, and that it's the research shows an unfortunate side effect of hand dryers. Apparently, I could not believe this, and I'm not sure it's entirely true, but it says here, they can blast bacteria everywhere. In one experiment, bacteria counts in the air were 27 times higher near the hand dryers than they were on the paper towel dispensers.
That one I don't understand. I'd want more information about the actual study.
It does seem a little crazy because you never really touched. No one ever really touches the intake, I assume, of the hand dryer. So why would it be blowing bacteria all around the room? I'm not quite sure about that.
The only reason I can think of for that is that if people do not use soap on their hands, then I guess you could make a case saying that the water on your hands has bacteria in it, and when the blow dryer works, it blows that around.
Oh, I see that. By the way, I hate to say this. There was one fact I forgot to share, and that is that 32% of food handlers admitted they did not wash their hands after they left the bathroom.
That's frightening.
Food handlers in restaurants. Okay, moving on. How hot is your name? There's a new app out now which determines which names are most attractive. If your name is Brianna, 70% of men say yes to a girl named Brianna. Can you believe that?
Well, I guess it sounds sexy, but what if you flip on Brianna and she's, you know.
I guess that's the 30% that would flip it the other way. Flip it the other way. The top five are Brianna, Erica, Lexi, Brooke, Vanessa. Mm-hmm. Those are nice, huh? April is number six.
Well, I'm thinking some of these names sound like models or actresses, perhaps.
Yeah, maybe that's
Maybe that's the jump in the association. I don't know.
Interestingly, women are less affected by names than men. You know, they only were in the 20% range in terms of determining a name that would make them choose a man. Mm-hmm. But they did like Brett, mm-hmm. Tyler, Corey, like Corey Feldman.
Corey, okay.
Andy and Noah among the top 10. I don't know. I don't know that some names are sexier than others. What do you think?
I don't think I would judge it on a name per se. I just wouldn't, unless the name was some really odd thing, like, I don't know, Obadiah or something.
Was there ever someone that you were going to date in your dating career so many years ago?
So many years ago,
that when you found out what this guy's name is, you had to say, nah, I just could never date a guy named whatever.
There was a guy, I don't want to say his name, but
there was one.
I dated him and I didn't think, the name was not my favorite, and then he wasn't my favorite guy. So the name, the question is, does the name match the person? And a lot of times these names are very appealing. And then you see the person, you think, he doesn't look like a brat.
Exactly.
You know,
but the name could be something that sticks in your throat and ruins a relationship. If the person that you're attracted to has a name you just can't stand, it could be the end of the whole thing. I think.
Or if the name reminds you of somebody else that you don't like. You know, if there's somebody
that's
was
right
nasty
too,
to you
yes.
or drove you nuts or fired you, and, you know, it was that person, I could never go out with him because, he reminds me of so-and-so, and that so-and-so was horrible.
I remember when we were talking baby names, before we knew whether we were having girls or boys, and we were talking for boy names, and the name Carl came up, and I said, Carl is just a nerd and a evil, awful name, and why Carl? What's wrong with Carl? But there was a kid in my elementary school named Carl who was awful. So for the rest of my life, I associated Carl as somebody I wouldn't want to know. And what's interesting about this is there is a new trend now to start naming your kids old school names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the pendulum swings back. How many times have I said that one? It's true. You get tired of the trend. When the trend becomes overdone, it's no longer a trend. Now it's old. We want something else.
I will say nobody's interested in naming their kids Bob.
Yeah, what number are you on that list?
Well, Bob is actually, there's a list out. You can look it up, the most popular names for babies. And I think Bob is like 890 or something like that. Robert, interestingly, is 81.
And what's Susan?
Hold on. I have it written down here.
Yes, you do.
I have it written down. Do you know what it is?
I think you told me it was 851.
There it is, 851.
Thanks a lot, America. And you know something? Who does these studies anyway? I'd like to meet these people.
Listen, it's science.
Why don't we have jobs that pay us to go out and talk to people about names they like and bathrooms they love?
I know. Wouldn't that be the easiest job?
And how
in
much
the world?
Do you make for that? And who gets to say yay or nay on that one?
I know. Let's talk about some of the names that used to be very popular, then went out of favor, but are now coming back. Number one girl's name is Clara.
Clara. Okay, that's nice.
Isn't that sweet? If you've got a boy, you might call him Eli.
Eli.
You know, there's like Eli Manning.
Mm-hmm. Or the character Eli on The Good Wife.
See, that's it. Sometimes television makes us think a name. Like Charlie, for example, that's an old school name. You know, you wouldn't think of naming your kid Charlie.
Mm-hmm. Charlie's a kind of a good guy.
It's a cool name. I think it's a really cute name. It's a cute old school name. Alice is a cute old school name. That's coming
Alice
back.
Is, yeah,
Tina
okay.
Fey has a daughter named Alice.
All right.
Henry is an old school name.
I like Henry. I was thinking the other day because, you know, I lost my kitty cat in August. He went to cat heaven. And I'm thinking it might be time to adopt. You know, I always think somebody's waiting and needs a home.
To call him Henry.
And I thought, what about Henry? Henry might be a good name.
Well, you know, Julia Roberts' son is named Henry.
Okay. Well,
and Colin Farrell has a son named Henry as well. I think that's.
I don't know that would do anything for me. In fact, I don't want something where everybody has named somebody like Brit. There were a lot of Britneys, and I'm guessing is Britney.
Oh, Britney is I think Britney. No, on the sexy name list, she's up there, but but she's way low now on the new baby name list.
And not because it's a bad name, only because too many people did it at the same time.
All right, let's move on to our next big topic today, which is what are you most afraid of? And the Wilkinson College of Arts, Humanities and Social Sciences did an interesting survey recently for the year 2015. America's top fears. Now, that's a part of the Chapman University School here in Los Angeles area. Well, first of all, let's talk about the obvious serious fears that we have. I think my greatest fear probably is centered around like nuclear attack or something like that, or maybe.
Sure.
Maybe terrorism or something like that.
Some form of terrorism, whether it's cyber terrorism or whether it's actual physical violence or like we just witnessed in, you know, Paris. Yeah, I mean, that's...
It's very interesting that you say cyber terrorism. You say cyber terrorism. That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought of that. And yet, that is number two on the list. What made you say cyber terrorism? Are you worried about it?
Yeah, because you think about people hacking in, and it's not that they're going to get your bank account and charge $50 at Crate and Barrel.
I guess that's what I think of when I think of cyber.
No, what it is that they could take out the electricity grid, or they could take a power grid, or you can't get somewhere. Or there's a new thing now. They just there was just a news report I saw on the local news here in San Francisco, and they talked about people hacking the electronic keys, if that's what they are. I have a plain old-fashioned key that goes in my 11-year-old car, and I love my car and I love the key, and that's fine.
But the new cars are all electronic, right?
But they're all electronic.
You don't even have to take them out of your pocket. You can leave them in your pocket.
Right. And if somebody can hack into that, now they can perhaps mess around with your car either as it's driving or lock you out of it.
I have heard of that. I have heard that they can take control of the car, actually, and turn off your brakes or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah,
imagine
That would be scary because people are controlling something that you don't even know what happened, and all of a sudden, boom, out of nowhere. Do you spend a lot of time worrying about it, though, is the question, I guess.
Here are the top 10 of fears that people are most afraid of. We'll start with number one, which is corruption of government officials.
Yeah, you know what? I think we're already there.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, clearly we're seeing,
a
pushback with Donald Trump and the whole, you know, anti-government Republican position, so people are anti-government right now. But corruption of government officials, number one. Number two, cyber terrorism, as we were talking about. Number three, corporate tracking of personal information. This is interesting. I guess people are afraid that companies know too much about us.
And then if they do, so what?
I know. Well, that's what I always thought. I always thought, so what? They'll send us more advertising. Okay, number four, terrorist attacks, which is what I thought would be today's number one fear. Interestingly, it's not. Mm-hmm. Then government tracking of personal information. Then biowarfare. Then identity theft.
Right.
A little bit concerned about that, I guess. But
yeah, I think so.
I figure
only
I can always get it back.
You know what it is more than identity theft is? It becomes this nightmare of stuff you have to do. I mean, maybe the answer to being having been the victim of an identity theft is just setting up a new identity and saying goodbye.
That's I thought just
but,
change your name.
You know, you'd still have to keep track of everything else, of your own money and investments or
I mean, it's not a life or death kind of a thing, you know, like nuclear attack. It's more of a, serious inconvenience, certainly.
Yeah. And not only that, I think to myself sometimes, I mean, if somebody's going to go after identity theft, I guess, go after somebody with a lot of money. Don't go after somebody with a couple of peanuts in the jar here.
Don't go after me, for God's sake.
Really?
Pick somebody
that's
better.
Stupid.
Exactly. The number seven, economic collapse. collapse. Of course, we've seen that happen in America. Running out of money in the future.
I knew that one up for me.
That's got to be mine, too. Honestly, that is really a big, scary thing, that especially as we all age.
I was going to say, do you know the age of the people who were polled in this?
No.
Okay. I would think if they broke it down by ages, I would think more boomers would be
have that
more
right
afraid
up at the
of
top.
Running out of money in the
yes,
future.
I agree with you.
I think that would be higher on the list.
I think so, too. I think running out of money in the future, our own personal bank account, that's got to be something that we all worry about, especially after 50. You know, once you get a little bit older and you
that's
start
right.
looking at what you've got and you start realizing what you're not going to get in terms of Social Security and various kinds of entitlements that you maybe thought you were going to get, you begin to think, how am I going to live? This could all spiral down the toilet real quick.
Mm-hmm. Much more simply is the answer.
Yeah, much more simply. Mm-hmm. And number 10 is credit card fraud. Not too worried about that for some
reason. Now, it's interesting that in those top 10, death is not there.
Way low. Only 16.8% of people are concerned about dying.
It's on the really long list. Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? 16.8%. That's not very many. Most people are not really afraid to die.
I think some people, I think if you're younger, you don't think about it. And I think if you're older and you lived a decent life, I think everybody is afraid to die on some level.
Yeah.
Okay. But I don't think most people spend a lot of time thinking about it. I think if you've had a life-threatening illness or are dealing with one, you kind of have the time, and you are kind of forced to think about it.
Right.
But if you're on a plane that all of a sudden loses altitude quickly, and
you got to think quick, right?
Wow,
right.
That's another one that's scary, you know. But you didn't think about it until then, and then maybe you think about it a lot if you get off that plane. You remember that.
As we scroll down this list, are anything small here sort of pop out? Like, you're not afraid of ghosts, probably.
No, I'm not afraid.
You're not afraid of romantic rejection.
I'm not afraid of romantic rejection.
You're
not afraid of clowns.
Measles. Oh, I'm afraid of clowns. Okay, that is my
thing. Why are you afraid of clowns?
I have always been afraid of clowns.
People are, and I don't get that.
I believe it. I really felt it when I was a kid, and we went to a circus in Indianapolis, and the clowns were coming up and down the aisle in our seating area. I wasn't so afraid of them when they were down in the circle, you know, in under the tent. But when they came up into the audience and were throwing things at us, I started crying. I was probably 5 or 6, but I remember it to this day. I don't like the way they look. It's a fake smile. Maybe that's it. Maybe there's something about the fake smile. Volcanoes used to scare me as a kid.
Where are dentists?
Oh, there should be a dental work in there somewhere.
Yeah.
Huh?
I don't. I'm telling you, I'm one of these people that has white coat hypertension when I'm in any medical setting or building, and you take my blood pressure coming in and you take my blood pressure going out.
It goes up.
Trust me when I tell you, it will be much different in one and then the other. It goes down when I'm leaving and it's all done and I'm out of there and I'm fine.
Really, really,
oh,
really.
Oh, yeah. And I don't like the dentist. So, but I've found a way to resolve that, and that is nitrous oxide.
I just had some the other day. Isn't this terrible?
And I like it. You get it before before the Novocaine, and it doesn't replace the Novocaine. It's in addition.
Susan Sikora, thank you so much. What a great day. This has been good. We know what you're afraid of. We know how you go to the bathroom.
And it's too much information, isn't it?
It's too much information, perhaps. That's what today was, the TMI day.
It's kind of the stuff that unites us all.
The stuff that unites us all, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All righty, well, check us out at olderandwiser.com. We'll see you next time.